Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, we now have trained AI sales and support agents ready to help you close more deals, reduce expenses, and free up your time for higher value tasks. To learn more, go to anabots.ai. That's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Eli Pacus. Eli is a serial inventor and two-time founder. He started his first company, Singular Sound, with his brother in 2013. They have since launched eight blockbuster products. In 2017, he partnered with Dr. Ralph Raud and Dr. Ana Mascarenhas to create the first device that automatically flosses all your teeth in only 10 seconds, InstaFloss. After 5 years of research and development, InstaFloss is ready to change the world one tooth at a time. Eli, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
I think probably the key to getting stuff done is not getting paralyzed by your inability to actually know how to get it done. Yeah. If you knew how to get it done, it would have been done already. So I think that shouldn't be something that holds you back. So definitely, I think to make a step forward rather than saying, I don't know how to do this, just be like, okay, well, how would I do it as an ignorant person? How would I learn to do it slightly better and slightly better?
That's great words of wisdom. A lot of times we don't do stuff because we are too worried about the fact that we don't know how to do it. And if you think about it, everybody that's done something has spent some time not knowing how to do it. And at some point you were just like, you know what, I'm just gonna try to figure it out. I saw Bob over there, and he was rubbing two sticks together. And these things came out that cooked all of his, saber-toothed tiger. I bet I can figure that out too. Eventually, as human beings, we're designed to go and figure out how things work. And so that makes a lot of sense. And so, what are some things, I'm curious, Eli, in your career that you had no idea what to do and you just got in there and started doing and figuring it out?
Well, I would say that with InstaFloss, the first thing that came to mind was the problem, which was, man, I really want a device that can floss all my teeth in 10 seconds. Now, I'm approaching this from the perspective of someone who's made products. I'm an inventor, I tinker, I work with engineers and everything like that, but I'm not a dentist. And, I have no background or specialty in oral care, but I really wanted to solve the problem. And so I started buying periodontal textbooks. I started downloading everything I could from PubMed to understand what the science has been on flossing. And I started getting a theoretical framework being like, look, I'm coming from this entirely ignorant, but I'm now getting some idea. Obviously, nothing compared to spending, 7 years in medical school. But then after I read that and I had some basics, like I read the introductory textbooks, I started reading the articles, I had a framework, I started knowing the terms, I started sketching things and be like, you know what? I think this would work. Now I went and I called up Dr. Ralph Raud. I managed to get a meeting, luckily, with Dr. Ana Mascarenhas, who's the chair of the American Dental Association Council of Scientific Affairs. And I was able to say, like, hey, look, here's my proposal for a device that I think would work. And here's my reasons why I would think it would work based on my rudimentary understanding. Now we can have a conversation. They're like, oh, you're going in the right direction. But now let's throw in some expertise. And then I was able to convince them because I knew the basics and I knew some guiding principles. And I was able to say, hey, look, I think this would work. They were able to say, yes, we want to join you. We want to join this quest and we're going to provide the guidance. And then, I started thinking that my design was great and we could get this done real quick. But then, Dr. Ana Mascarenhas was like, hey, you have to do these tests, you have to do this. And that required all sorts of iterations. I mean, we flossed pigs for 2 years while iterating on prototypes.
So how was that? Tell me, no, there's a story in there somewhere. Tell me about flossing pigs.
So it's not live pigs. It's the
Even
pig.
better.
Right.
I
So there was
don't
a
actually
lot.
know what I would prefer in that situation. Like, I would almost rather the pig be alive if I'm going to floss a pig.
So I came at this with a theoretical framework of what I believed, what device, how the device would work to solve this problem. And so we had to actually then show that empirically. And so what we did is we start taking prototypes, and we would floss a pig decapitated head, and then we would cut away the with the prototype. Then we would cut away the gums, reveal the gums, and see how deep underneath the gums we were getting. What were we disturbing underneath the gum line? How much biofilm was disturbed? How much plaque was removed, etc. And based on that, we're able to make some inferences on, hey, we need to start doing this with the jet. We need to start changing the proximity of these parts, etc. And that took a long time to inform our prototypes. But yeah, that was under the guidance of Dr. Anna Mascarenhas, and is really disgusting because you have all these pig heads and you're cutting them open and you're making all these measurements, but you need that to inform the prototypes. That way, by the time you're ready to test in humans, you really know what you're doing and have a real good reason to believe that the device would work.
Wow, fascinating. And what I love about this story, and it ties right into your lesson about productivity, which is you're not a dentist, you're not a medical expert, you didn't have any idea how to solve this problem. The only thing that you did know was, I better get to work and doing something. I better get to work and learning something. And I better try some things and I better talk to some people. And the result of that, well, I better do this next, I better do this next, has led to a finished product, just one little piece at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I think it's important to realize that you don't necessarily need to be an expert, but in order to talk to experts, you can't leave 100% ignorant, or they won't be able to fill in your gaps. I mean, if I didn't read the periodontal textbooks and I didn't read the scientific articles on flossing, and then I went to a dentist, I would not have been convincing. I wouldn't have known the questions to ask, and I wouldn't have understood the answers they gave. So, I think a lot of people get paralyzed being like, oh, if I'm not the expert at the thing that I'm trying to do, whether it's, the marketing or building or engineering or whatever, then I might as well not even try. But that's not true at all. As the founder, in a way, you're lucky if you're the dumbest person in your company. You want every single person to have greater expertise than you in every area that you hire them for, or get them to join you however they join you. But the thing that people report that they hate the most is when someone managing them doesn't understand what they're doing and therefore makes them do stupid things against their own advice. So the best way you could avoid this frustration, and the best way you could actually make use of the wisdom that these people have to give you, is to understand as much as possible. Understand that they're the expert, they're going to know more than you. But in order to have that conversation, you need to try to know at least as much as you can.
Now you crowdfunded this, right? So this was funded by just regular humans.
Yeah, regular humans.
Mere mortals, not like, Wall Street investors or anything like that. So how do you know, like, what are some of the indicators of finding a product that's a right fit for crowdfunding? That's a very unique niche.
Yeah, it's not correct for everything. I think InstaFloss was a good fit because it's easy to, the problem is easy to understand. The solution is easy to understand. And the relevance is readily identifiable and felt by everyone. Everybody needs to floss. Nobody wants to, but they would if it was easy. We have a device that can floss all your teeth in 10 seconds, and therefore that is easily understood problem solution and market. And that's why it was such a great opportunity for crowdfunding. So if you're the more general you are, or perhaps not even general, but understandable you are to a passionate niche, then the more of a fit you can be for that. But if you have some, niche SaaS idea or, some arcane financial, voodoo, some sort of fintech thing, then you may be on a better path going to the non-regular humans who understand that better than the general market.
The vampires, the immortals.
Correct, correct.
Exactly. Well, that's cool. And it's a great distinction. I have seen that firsthand in clients that I work with, and I help people build sales teams and processes. And when I'm selling something that's very intangible and gooey, it's tough. When I'm selling something that people are actively seeking and it's very clear and almost kind of walled off, like this type of person goes crazy about this thing, but everybody outside of it doesn't know it exists, like those things sell. And it's so much easier for me to do my job and selling a product or service that is well defined and people definitely want, we know what the problem is. Everybody desperately wants the solution to the problem versus almost creating the problem and then solving the problem that you just created. That's hard work, man.
I think a good litmus test you should ask yourself is if someone says, "Hey, like, what do you do? What problem do you solve?" Can you answer this in one sentence? And that sentence makes them go, "Oh, wow." You know? So like if you know someone's like, "Oh, what do you do?" We're like, "Oh, we make a device that can floss all your teeth in 10 seconds." And then just stop. Don't pitch anymore. Don't say anything more. Just see the reaction. If they give you a reaction, they're like, "Oh man, that's amazing." You know, then you're on the right path. But I've witnessed people trying to pitch. They're like, "Oh, what do you do?" And they just go into this thing. And then, you know, when they see that the person's not reacting, they think the answer is to say more and to say more. And
Yeah,
if I just
keep
manage to
talking.
include more, you're eventually gonna get it. It's like, no, you need to be able to say one sentence and then stop talking. And if they didn't respond positively when you stop talking after one sentence, you need to refine it.
You need a better idea. Yeah.
Or
Like,
better pitch, you know, some
or you need a different audience or something. Yeah.
something needs to change. What that thing is, I leave as an exercise to the reader.
Yeah, indeed. And so tell us a little bit about the future of InstaFloss. Where are we at now? How can people learn more about it?
Right. So you can learn more about it by going to instafloss.com. What we've done is we've taken a good number of pre-orders. 2.7 million in pre-orders, and we've developed a generation alpha to be able to do user testing on a group of people. But now we're developing a market-ready version of the product that was going to be smaller and cheaper to be able to get to the more general market. And so, you know, the research and the engineering never stops.
Indeed. That's great. And so this is just hitting the market now, and you've funded $2.7 million or 2.7 million units.
No, we've taken $2.7 million in pre-orders, and we've taken $1.3 million in equity. But remember, we flossed pigs for 2 years, and then we've experimented with humans for more years than that. So it's been a very expensive process to get this to work medically.
I can only imagine. And now I will sleep tonight with nightmares of pigs flossing. And I don't know how to get that image out of my mind. Thank you, Eli, for just, ruining the rest of my week. I appreciate that, man.
If there's one thing I can do, I'm glad it was that.
Awesome. And so one quick thing before we wrap up here. You dropped out of school like in seventh grade. And then you turned around and finished high school before most people even start high school. I gotta find out what happened there, man.
Well, I had a really sucky math teacher. And the sucky math teacher wouldn't teach anything in class, but I'd try to be a good student. So I'd learn it from the book, do the homework, and then go to this class and be like, if I'm doing the work and learning at home and I'm doing the work at home, why am I spending time in class? It just didn't make any sense to me. I could do it much quicker or do something else. And luckily, my parents were open to that suggestion. So I was able to finish much quicker. Where did you find that out, by the way? I don't think I have that. Maybe someone
Hearing
asked
you
me this in another
right here in
thing,
your
you
show notes, man. You weren't ready for that.
know.
Yeah, no, what we do before every guest comes on is we hire a private investigator and we go and we just follow you around for a little while, like, so if there was a creepy dude with a hat with binoculars, sorry, that was us.
All right, understood. Yeah. Man, I really thought that was just an elaborate fetish that my girlfriend was orchestrating, but I'm glad to hear that it was. Oh, I'm actually disappointed to hear that it was just the PI experts of your individuals.
Good times, Eli Pacus, everybody, for instafloss.com. For those of you who want to make sure that you're taking care of your dental health, I know that when I personally started flossing every day, that made a huge difference for me. I've always had kind of like jacked up teeth and everything, but I'm like, look, this is what I got. I got to make it work. So I always make sure that they're taken care of. And if I could get it done in 10 seconds, that would be even better. Those of you who want to learn more, you can go to instafloss.com. We're going to go ahead and wrap from here. If you are out there on your morning commute or you're in the gym or you're doing something cool, take a snap a selfie and tag me at JT Literally. I want to know what you're doing while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost your sales, cut your costs, and free up your time with higher value tasks, get yourself an Anabot. You can learn more by going to anabots.ai. That's it for this episode. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you can go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.